Why do we instinctively feel some actions are wrong while others are right? This fundamental question has shaped human society since their inception. Ethics isn't merely academic, it's the invisible architecture supporting our daily decisions and social interactions. When we condemn corruption, praise generosity, or debate complex issues like euthanasia, we're engaging with ethical principles that run deeper than cultural conventions. The fascinating aspect of ethics is how it simultaneously feels personal yet universal. We may disagree on specific moral questions, but almost everyone believes some actions are objectively wrong regardless of opinion. This tension between moral intuition and moral reasoning forms the beating heart of ethical inquiry. As we navigate life's complexities, understanding the foundations of ethics doesn't just satisfy intellectual curiosity. It equips us with tools to make better decisions in an increasingly complex world. Hedonism offers a simple ethical view. Happiness matters most, and a good life maximizes pleasure while minimizing pain. Since Epicurus, who advocated moderate pleasures and tranquility, hedonism has appealed through its flexibility. Any happiness-producing path qualifies as good. However, this view faces key challenges. The paradox of hedonism shows that directly pursuing happiness often backfires, as when vacation enjoyment diminishes under pressure to have the perfect time. Consider two equally content women. One with an unfaithful husband she doesn't know about. Though equally happy, most would judge the deceived woman's life as worse. Nozick's experience machine thought experiment further undermines hedonism. If happiness were all that mattered, we should eagerly plug into a device simulating pleasurable experiences. Yet most refuse, suggesting we value authentic experiences beyond feelings. Similarly, patients often decline pain medication to maintain clarity. The trajectory of our lives also matters. A life improving over time seems better than one declining, even with identical total happiness. The shape of our journey counts, not just the sum of happy moments. Is genuine altruism possible, or are we fundamentally self-interested? Psychological egoism claims all human actions stem from self-interest, even seemingly selfless ones. Heroic acts like sacrificing oneself to save others are reframed as avoiding guilt or achieving some personal benefit. This theory has fatal flaws. When people report altruistic motives, psychological egoists must dismiss this testimony as self-deception. This creates a dilemma. Either consider evidence that might disprove the theory or refuse it entirely. Rejecting contrary evidence reflects dogmatism, not rationality. Ethical egoism, meanwhile, asserts our only moral duty is maximizing self-interest. It claims we act immorally whenever we prioritize others over ourselves, contradicting basic moral intuitions. If killing opponents maximizes self-interest, ethical egoism would make this morally required. The theory fails to justify why my interests should outweigh yours, violating the principle that moral rules must apply universally. Evolutionary psychology research reveals both self-interested and genuinely altruistic mechanisms in human behavior, suggesting our moral nature combines elements of both egoism and altruism. Do all the good you can captures consequentialism's essence. Act utilitarianism holds that morally required actions maximize overall well-being. Its greatest strength is impartiality. Each person's welfare counts equally regardless of status. This equality, now commonplace, was radical when Bentham and Mill introduced it. Utilitarianism resolves moral conflicts through one rule: maximize well-being. Yet it faces challenges. When values like happiness and autonomy conflict, it provides no clear priority. The theory also demands excessive sacrifice. Whenever you could do more good for others than yourself, you must choose others. Its greatest flaw is sometimes requiring injustice to maximize well-being. Sherman's random execution of a prisoner stopped guerrilla attacks, saving more lives, making it right by utilitarian standards despite violating rights. Immanuel Kant offers the alternative, emphasizing fairness over consequences. His principle of humanity states, always treat a human being as an end, never as a mere means. This explains why fanaticism, slavery, and rape are always wrong. They deny victims autonomy. Unlike consequentialism, Kant focuses on intentions rather than results. However, his emphasis on rationality problematically excludes infants, disabled people, and animals from moral consideration. Social contract theory views morality as principles that rational equals would agree to for cooperative living. This explains prohibitions against killing and theft, rules that benefit everyone mutually. The prisoner's dilemma demonstrates why cooperation serves even self-interested individuals. When two criminals must decide between silence, cooperation, or confession, betrayal, rational self-interest often leads both to confess, creating worse outcomes for both. This pattern appears in overfishing, political smear campaigns, and climate change. Contractarianism faces key challenges, however. It struggles to explain why morality remains rational when detection is unlikely and rewards substantial. The theory also excludes those whose cooperation we don't need, animals, future generations, and severely disabled humans, from moral consideration, as contractors are defined as beings who can both help and harm others. Unlike most ethical theories that focus on actions, virtue ethics asks not, what should I do, but what sort of person should I be? This Aristotelian approach defines right action through the character of the person. An act is morally right just because it is one that a virtuous person would do in that situation. Virtue ethicists see morality as complex and messy, requiring emotional maturity and sound judgment rather than formulaic rules. Emotions are essential to moral understanding. They help us recognize moral relevance, signal right from wrong, and motivate appropriate action. A virtue integrates perceptions, thoughts, and motives. The generous person acts generously, sees opportunities to help, considers others' needs, and is motivated by genuine care. Virtuous people are defined by both actions and inner life. They perceive what matters, understand what is right, and desire to act accordingly. Aristotle maintained that humans seek eudaimonia, flourishing, not mere pleasure, but an active life of wise choices and worthy pursuits. While virtue is fundamental to a good life, significant misfortune can undermine even a virtuous person's well-being. Ethics isn't just about grand theories. It's about navigating daily decisions with integrity and wisdom. The key insight from studying ethics is that moral questions rarely have simple answers. Different ethical frameworks illuminate different aspects of complex situations, like various light sources revealing different features of a landscape. A practical approach combines elements from multiple theories. Consequentialism's concern with outcomes, Kant's respect for autonomy, contractarianism's focus on fairness, and virtue ethics' attention to character. When facing difficult choices, we might ask, what outcomes will my action produce? Does it respect others' dignity? Is it fair? What would a person of good character do? Ethics doesn't provide an infallible moral GPS, but offers a compass for life's terrain. It teaches us to question assumptions, consider multiple perspectives, and recognize moral complexity. In our polarized world, ethical thinking reminds us that reasonable people can disagree while still engaging respectfully. The goal isn't perfect moral knowledge, but practical wisdom, the ability to perceive what matters and respond with both compassion and justice. As we develop this wisdom, we become not just better decision makers, but more fully human.